Because you listen to the Ron Van Dam Show, I know that you are a classy, intelligent person. And so I've been meaning to ask if maybe I could get your number. If you're not doing anything this weekend, maybe we could get together and, talk about Ron over a couple drinks. I mean, we don't have to talk about Ron, but he is kind of the thing that brought us together. So, well, you let me know. For right now, you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Here we are.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Love me on Facebook, hate me on Snapchat. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am one of those people. I'm the Ron Van Dam one. There's a picture of me also on the website. Or, not on your radio, there's no picture of me. Get a little bit closer to your speaker. Let's do an intimate show. Just you and me and all the other people, too. This is the Friday weekend edition of the program. This should last you. Right, yeah. Good to see you. When you listen to this show, I'd like you to dress up a little bit better than you are right now, because let's have some respect, you know? I'm going out of my way to do this for you. At least you can do is, like, look decent, okay? All right, a little bit to the left. No, it's too far left. A little bit, no, a little back, go to the right. No. Higher. No, lower. No, that's not up. God, I'll scratch my own back. I'll tell you what, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, okay? All right, there you go. Okay. All right. Let me hear your theme music. You don't have one? Oh. I am making somewhat of a pledge not to talk about news or politics until I have to, because it only causes stress, and I am getting away from the stress thing. Does anybody have a friend or know somebody where everything just rolls off their back? What a luxury that must be to be vapid. Yeah, you know, hey, did you hear about the terrible thing that happened? Oh, no, that's too bad. But life goes on, right? Anyway, and then they go back to doing their gardening. It's like nothing seems to, you know, Uncle Billy died. Oh, no, that's a shame. Okay, well, life goes on. Oh, God. Do you know people like this? I mean, there's a little more compassion involved in my demonstration and my acting abilities here, but basically nothing seems to bother them. It's like everything just, it's like Superman. The bullets just go flying off the chest. You know, it doesn't matter. What a luxury that must be. What a wonderful life. Not really. You know, you care about things, but you don't let them get to you at all because they just roll off your back. Tommy, did you break the dishes? There's dishes all over the floor.
Yes, I did, Mommy.
Well, we'll just buy some new ones. Okay. You didn't even get mad at him? You didn't even go, oh my God, my favorite plates? You didn't even do that? You missed a chance to be overdramatic?
Wow, what a
luxury that must be. Can you imagine being married to somebody like that? I think it might be frustrating on one hand and heaven-like on the other. I don't know. But, so I'm not going to talk, here's my advice to you. Just stay clear of all the drama and all the negativity. And don't watch the news at all. If something happens, then it happens. What are you going to do about it? What are you supposed to do about it? Just leave it alone. You know, let the kids of tomorrow, their future is going to be on this planet. It's kind of their thing to do. And kids, instead of going out and drinking large amounts of alcohol and getting high on the bazooka, whatever you call that thing, you better get involved and start, saying, "Hey, this is my country, and you're screwing it up for me here." You open your mouth. But I'm not going to talk about that today. No way. There's an event taking place late Saturday night and Sunday morning, and it's not a parade. You know what it is? Take a guess. Yeah, that's right. Oh, good. Some of you actually listen to things. It's time to turn the clocks forward or backward. Quick. It's the little phrase, fall backward, spring forward. An ingenious little phrase. The only way that I know what to do with my clock. Seriously, I always have to start. Do I do the clocks forward or back? Do I lose an hour? Do I gain an hour? I never know unless I say that little phrase, fall backwards, spring forwards. Of course, if you get the phrase mixed up, like spring backwards, fall forwards, which I've done, I've fallen forwards many times. Then it doesn't help, but you know, whatever. So when you wake up Sunday morning, it's going to be an hour earlier, which a lot of people like because they get a little bit more sleep. An hour more sleep, what the hell difference does it make? It's just another hour that I have to get up and pee. So what's the difference? What's the difference? You look refreshed and wonderful. I got an extra hours of sleep this morning. See, it doesn't work like that because you have a thing called a body clock. And your body's used to getting up at a certain time. Not time on the clock, time in the body. It just does this thing. It gets used to getting up at a certain time, no matter what the clock says. Do you ever get up and you know, you get up at 6 and you look at the clock and, yep, it's 6. Your body just knows this. It's kind of weird in a way. It's telekinetic. But your body knows stuff. I've got to trust my body a little bit more. Sometimes my body will play tricks on me. Like when I have gas, it'll make me feel like I'm having a heart attack, but I'm not. So my body, you know, every once in a while says, let's play around with the guy a little bit here and give him some symptoms. He don't know what it is. He thinks he knows, but he don't. And he'll show them who's boss. So your body can do that. Your body can play tricks on you. It does that. Yeah. Like everybody else. They prank. Your body pranks you. Do you ever have an argument about yourself? You know, I'm going to do this from the heart. No, do it from the mind. Do it from the brain. No, the heart. Then you actually argue with yourself. It's kind of fascinating in a way. So we got to turn the clocks back. So when it's 6 o'clock in the morning, it's really 5 o'clock in the morning, that kind of thing. And a lot of people fix the clocks before they go to bed. These are the people that back into parking spaces because they're thinking ahead. They want to make it easier on the other side. I don't know. I used to do that. I used to back into spaces. Yeah, and you know, in parking lots and things, I'd back in. And it took like 2 or 3 tries, usually, you know, so it was like a little challenging, but I did it. And I, at a point it was like, no, when you're driving and there's a space and you can just go right into it, it's kind of easy. And when you're backing out of the space, cause you're done there, it's kind of easy to back out into the wide aisle. So I don't know why people are backing in unless you're going to rob the store. hey, we're going to run in there, and you hold the cashier hostage there, and I'll grab the money out of cash register, and we'll run out to the car, put it in drive, and we're out of there. Yeah. I mean, you can't rob a bank and then, like, back out. It takes a little bit more time. You have to be careful, look behind you, make sure there's nobody there, and not going to hit another car and stuff. Another car coming, but so that's when you back into a space originally if you're going to rob the place. If you're not, then stop backing into the spaces. It's annoying. The other thing people do when they get in their car is they turn the car off. You know, they're in the parking space. There's the store in front of them. They turn the car off, and they sit in the car for 5 minutes. What are you doing? What are you doing in the car for 5 minutes? That you can't just say, I'm at the place now, I'm going to go in, if you're on the cell phone. I mean, why do you just sit there? Same thing when you come out of the store, you get in the car, you close the car door, you don't start the car up immediately, you sit there for 10 minutes. What are you doing? Is sitting in a car a sanctuary for some people? I don't know your personal home life, but maybe you'd rather just sit in your car. Maybe you didn't do very well at one point and you actually lived in your car and this is home to you. I don't know. I don't know. But stop backing into spaces. It's annoying. There's no reason for it. There might be some kind of mental incapacity that you have where you're like a neat freak or an organized freak or something, and you have to set yourself up for when the thing is over. You're always setting yourself up for later. That can be annoying. So stop doing that and stop sitting in your car when other people want that space. Do your business, get in your car, and get the hell out of there. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. Anyway, clock. Ron, the clock thing. Okay, right. So we're going to turn our clocks back, which means in certain parts of the country, like in the Northeast especially, it will get dark at, probably around 5 o'clock. Yeah, I know. And then it'll get even earlier, it'll get dark until, I believe it's December 21st, when that's the winter salt sticks. It's the solstice, but I never really knew what that was. I do, but I don't, so I don't want to get into it. But until that date, December 21st, in that area, it's going to get darker earlier still, to the point where you're going to wake up in the morning, and 2 hours later, it's going to get dark. You better do your stuff within a two-hour period. Look, you can't do any gardening anyway, so what are you complaining about? I did a show about this about 10 days ago, I believe it was, and I told you if you have this kind of mental thing where you get depressed because it gets dark so early, I told you before, then just turn the lights on. It'll be better. You can do most things you want to do with the lights on. You'll be amazed. And then I told you there's some of the Sylvania and GE and all those people who make light bulbs. They have a thing called a daylight bulb, and it's in every store, and it mirrors daylight. It's more of a pure white kind of thing, and it's actually invigorating. Get some of those bulbs, and if you do, you'll thank me. Don't contact me to thank me. Just thank me, like, you know, telepathically. And you're welcome telepathically. There you have it. I kind of like the winter in a way, because there's not stuff I want to do outside anyway. I mean, who likes that? Well, people who ski like to ski. They like to ski. I call them thrill seekers. People who like to do things in winter weather, outdoor activities in winter weather, are under the category for me as thrill seekers. Because they're usually activities where you can slip and fall and break your limbs. Almost all of them are. Skiing, yeah. It's like motorcycle driving there. You can't, motorcycle riding, not driving. eventually you're going to be in an accident. And that's the same with skiing. Eventually you're going to break something, or you're going to smash into a tree and die, like Sonny Bono. Some people like to toboggan. That toboggan's going to spill over and you're going to land on your head. They're all thrill-seeking situations. Shoveling snow can give you a heart attack. It's not a good thing either. There's nothing in the winter that you should be doing outside to any great extent anyway. So, like, what are you complaining about? Turn the lights on and do some stuff. Clean your room. Go through your files or something. Take a shower. Just read a book. Cozy up to a fire with a nice warm cup of cocoa or tea or something like that. And, you know, winter's a very cozy time. Take advantage of your coziness. You don't do stuff outside anyway, so what the hell are you complaining about? Really, seriously. Ron, I wish I could go outside every day of the year. Well, then move to a state where you can do that, and shut up. If you don't like it, if you don't like the winter, go to some place where they really don't have winter. Where winter simply means putting on a light sweater. That's it for them. Like California. Or Texas or something. I mean, it gets cold. They get little frozen days. When they do, it's like, oh my God. Oh my God, I can't live. There's a little bit of ice on the ground. Oh no. You know, so it's a little exciting still. But, you know, that's about as far as it gets. Light sweater. It's really, you know. Then move there. Move to a place like that. It can be in the same country. Not that this country is that great anymore, but I'm telling you, you can still do that. You can still move. So shut up. Shut up. If you're going to live in the winter area, put the lights on and stay inside. What's wrong with you? There's stuff to do inside. Play chess or something. Have wild, passionate sex all the time. I know, it's a chore, but still, something to do, and it's good exercise. Come on, take advantage. All right. I have a doctor who's coming on the show momentarily. He's going to talk about something that people have, half of America, half of the world, actually, has this particular condition or quote-unquote disease. Yeah. Yeah. By definition, we all have a disease of some sort. And if you don't right now, then you will shortly. Probably by the time the show's over. The disease could be mental, like depression or something like that. Or it could be physical. Like, did you know that everybody is either emaciated or obese? And very few are in between. And the ones in between are on their way to being emaciated or on their way to being obese. We're tagging and labeling people with diseases. There's nobody walking the earth that doesn't have a disease. And stop saying how old you are. Don't give your age. Just say how many pills you're taking on a daily basis, and they'll be able to tell how old you are. It's true, and you know it. Stop arguing with me. I don't have time to argue with you right now. Maybe later, but not right now. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, my goodness, the doctor will be joining us with some very interesting information. He's a pretty cool guy, to be honest with you, as far as I'm concerned. All right? Fine. First, there's this message, and then we'll be back. So just hold on. Hold on.
Everyone's doing a chicken sandwich these days, but nobody does it quite like Burger Guy. Introducing Burger Guy's new all-beef chicken sandwich. It starts with three of our signature paper-thin patties and a hearty helping of our something-like cheese sauce on a delicious day-old bun. So what makes it a chicken sandwich? Well, every Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is topped with a crispy Cajun spice free-range chicken beak. It's the tastiest part of the chicken. Science tells us so. The new all-beef chicken sandwich. Available for a limited time, only at Burger Guy.
The Burger Guy All-Beef Chicken Sandwich is available as a meal combo with the Burger Guy metric ton of fries and keg of soda. The Burger Guy All-Beef Chicken Sandwich contains less than 2% chicken by weight and should not be confused with a chicken sandwich containing more than 2% chicken. Consult your physician before eating anything at Burger Guy, ever.
Dr. Mitch Elkin joins us now, and we're talking about over-the-counter medications. Thanks for being with us, by the way.
Well, thank you for having me, Ron. Okay. Thanks for having the Heart Association.
Yeah. Yes, he is. The doctor is with the American Heart Association. He's the chief clinical science officer. In what they sent me here, it says that nearly half of all adults in this country have elevated blood pressure. Oh, my God. That's quite a statement.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of people don't know that they have it. And that's because high blood pressure, we've always called the silent killer. A lot of people don't know they have it until something catastrophic happens, like a stroke or a heart attack. And that's because when the numbers are up just a bit, there may not be any symptoms at all. So real important for people to get their numbers checked and get it under control as needed.
Yeah. When we go into a pharmacy and we see all the over-the-counter selections, I know of one cold medication that says for those with high blood pressure. That's all I see that kind of single out that particular concern.
That's true, that there are many more medications that can have an impact on blood pressure, particularly some of the pain medications, like the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs. That's a very common category that includes a lot of the, like, ibuprofen and naproxen and so forth.
Does that mean that one should not necessarily embark upon those options? Or, I mean, there aren't any others, are there?
Well, there are. There are some options that don't that work differently. So acetaminophen, for example, may be a better choice for some people. And people should really talk to their doctor about what medication is best for them if they are having pain. About half of the country takes pain medication regularly of some type or another.
Yes.
And so making sure that there isn't an interaction with your other medicines or with your blood pressure is real important.
Yeah. Doctor, going back to the immediate thesis here that approximately half of adults in the country have elevated blood pressure, a hypertension, a possible concern. Everything's pre, by the way. If you don't have what the condition is, then you have the precondition. So, I mean, you're kind of screwed no matter what. Why is that? Do you think it's always been like that? Did we have data that shows from year to year?
Well, I would say over the years, over the last few decades, we've recognized that elevations in blood pressure that we didn't used to worry about also carry an increase in risk of heart attacks and strokes. So, you know, we used to say 160 for blood pressure was high, then it was 140, then 130. Now we say 120 over 80 is really a normal pressure because we know the risks go down as we get lower and lower. So that's one reason. The other is that there's been an increase in the risk factors for high blood pressure. So things like obesity and overweight and a sedentary lifestyle where people aren't getting enough physical activity or exercise, those are reasons probably for an increase in blood pressure in the population.
Yeah. Now that's probably even more than half of the country being sedentary and overweight, and my goodness, okay, I guess we're going in the wrong direction here.
That's true. As a country, the numbers don't look promising for the future, and that's why we really want to get the message out and turn that around, and that's why the Heart Association is working so hard to educate people about this issue.
There are a good chunk of Americans that go over the counter in order to solve some of their concerns as far as that's concerned. But I mean, I guess as a doctor, what you're saying, no, you better check with your doctor and make sure that you're having it handled better than over the counter. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's right. And certainly there's benefits to over-the-counter medications, no question. And people, you know, may not be able to get their doctor when they have an acute, you know, pain of one type or another, you know, arthritis or joint injury or something like that. I think the key thing, though, is for people to know that these medications can have side effects, and particularly for those with high blood pressure. So being cautious is always smart. You know, I think we have a tendency to think that if something is over the counter, it can't do any harm, but that's not necessarily the case. And for people with cardiovascular disease in particular, they need to be careful and talk about these things with their doctor.
Wow. Would one surmise, if they didn't understand what you're talking about, that if you're taking medications for high blood pressure, when you do something over the counter like ibuprofen, does that counter the effects of your prescription, or is it actually dangerous to mix the two?
Well, these medications, if taken in large enough quantities for long enough, can have an impact on kidney function, for example, and that can lead to higher blood pressure. So certainly the more of the medication you take, either in dose, you know, higher amounts, or in duration, how long you take, either way, there's the potential for damage to the kidneys and raising the blood pressure. So it's important to minimize it even when taking one of these pills. And I think that's true of any medication, frankly.
Wow. What about hospitals and such? Do they follow what you're talking about, or you're having, you know, you need it and you're going to have this medication, high blood pressure, or no?
Well, you know, one thing that happens in a hospital, of course, is that the blood pressure is checked regularly by nurses. So we can see the impact. And that's just another reason why it's important to do this home blood pressure monitoring, especially for people who have high blood pressure. Home blood pressure monitoring is great, and nowadays the results can even be telecommunicated to the doctor, you know, or entered right directly into the electronic health record, so your doctor can see what the numbers are at home, because the doctor gets a very brief snapshot when they see you in the office. So, you know, with modern technology, we can get some sense of what's happening outside the doctor's office too, which is so important.
I mean, I have hypertension, not as bad as it used to be, but it's still there. And I was given a blood pressure monitor, and when it was a little bit high, I freaked out, and it went even higher. It's kind of like fuels its own problem sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Getting things like anxiety under control is a good idea.
Yeah.
And people should know that there's other things you can do to get the blood pressure down.
Yes.
Like we said, getting some exercise or eating right, limiting the sodium. Yeah.
Most of us that complain about not having it possibly done naturally don't do it naturally, so it's kind of like counterproductive. Just do it.
All right.
There's a lot to know. Is there? Can we get a comprehensive list of what over the counters might be? Not a good idea.
Yeah, so people can get more information at our website, which is heart.org, and specifically around this blood pressure question. If you go to heart.org/BP tools, blood pressure tools, so the BP is for blood pressure, heart.org/BP tools is a good place to look.
Great. Well, he's Dr. Mitch Elkind, and it's the American Heart Association. Go to the website, and it affects more of us than we realize, so you're not alone. But, you know, just the smarter you can be about things, the better off you are. And, Doctor, you've been a wealth of information today. Thank you so much for your time. Well, that'll do it for me today, and you too. Have a wonderful weekend. I hope you do. Don't forget to change that freaking clock, huh? And then I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.